Bernard Madoff is in jail, and the investigation into his Ponzi scheme has moved on to who else might be culpable. Newly released documents show that one day before Madoff turned himself in, a Connecticut hedge fund was still promising to raise hundreds of millions of dollars for him. From member station WBUR in Boston, Kurt Nickisch reports.
The documents provide the best insight yet into how these so-called feeder funds raised investor money for Madoff's Ponzi scheme. Email exchanges among Fairfield Greenwich employees discuss landing new clients, like the wealthy one referred to in this email read by one of my colleagues.
This is an unusual one, Appetite, $50 to $100 million in bites, so worth our time. She's always heard about Madoff, but here's things that scare her, so neutralize the scare with our transparency. This will be a piece of cake.
This naked view into the inner workings of a Madoff feeder fund is part of a stack of documents that the Massachusetts Secretary of State William Galvin has made public. Madoff pleaded guilty last month, but Galvin says Fairfield executives earned millions from their business with Madoff and were therefore codependent.
They had a blind spot, we had alleged, because of the significant fees they were making with Madoff, and culminating with their willingness to try to help Madoff escape SEC detection, as feeble as that was.
A Securities and Exchange Commission investigation is the backdrop for the state's Exhibit 1. It's the transcript of a phone call a couple of years ago between Bernard Madoff and Fairfield executives. Madoff does maybe 95% of the talking. He opens by saying this conversation never happened, and he basically coaches them how to answer the SEC's questions. The federal agency was looking into Madoff at the time, but did not discover the fraud. However, the bulk of the new evidence is email documents, often between the hedge fund managers and their clients. In one email, an investor asks how Fairfield actually knows whether Madoff is really buying and selling stock.
One, how are the trades actually distributed to each of the accounts? Two, how do you know the trade isn't a Ponzi scheme?
Fairfield emails show some questions about Madoff internally as well. What strikes Boston attorney Brenda Sharton is the disconnect with the company's outward reassurance to investors. In more than one case, clients who want to take their money out are talked out of it. Sharton has been working with Madoff investors, but still emphasizes,
we also have to be careful and mindful that we've only heard half of the story. Fairfield, when they have a chance to respond to the allegations, you know, may have a different story to tell.
Fairfield says in a statement that the allegations in the Massachusetts civil complaint are misleading and that it intends to vigorously contest them. Even so, lawyers will have to explain a letter the firm sent to Madoff in December. Apparently, Madoff had threatened to cut off the relationship unless Fairfield could raise $500 million quickly. Here's an excerpt from that letter that Fairfield executives addressed, Dear Bernie.
Our firm is very dependent on its relationship with your firm. You are our most important business partner and an immensely respected friend. Through 2009, we will engage in no other fundraising initiatives. Our mission is to remain in business with you and to keep your trust.
Madoff turned himself in the next day. For NPR News, I'm Kurt Nickisch in Boston.